Before I start, I wanted to get an idea of how many people here have worked in ACA enrollment, directly or indirectly. Can you raise your hand? Okay, a decent number. I have no relationships to disclose. So this presentation is based off of a report that my organization, Illinois Coalition for Immigrant Refugee Rights, wrote. And it was basically a reflection of what our experience and our member coalition experience was trying to enroll immigrants and refugees in that first year of enrollment. In case anybody didn't know what Affordable Care Act is, it was signed into law in 2010, but the first open enrollment was this past year from October 1st, 2013 to March 31st, 2014. I kind of want you guys to keep in mind this timeline because when I'm describing some of the barriers, it'll be important to know when they were solved. So before the ACA enrollment, we were very interested, and it's because Illinois has the sixth largest immigrant population in the country, and out of our total uninsured population in Illinois, 30% of them are foreign-born. And of the total uninsured immigrants that we have, about half of them would be eligible for coverage, so we could cut that uninsurance rate by half in our population. We were one of 44 organizations that received a contract from the state of Illinois to do outreach and enrollment in throughout the whole state. We had 29 immigrant organizations, just to give you an idea of what kind of groups we represented. About 15 of them were Latino. About 10 of them were Asian American organizations. One of them was working with African immigrants, one of them with Polish immigrants, and two of them with Arab American immigrants. We had over 30 navigators in the 29 organizations. And not only did they help immigrants understand their eligibility and help them enroll in adult Medicaid and Marketplace, they actually also helped them determine their eligibility for other programs as well, like SNAP and WIC and All Kids. All Kids is Illinois' version of CHIP, but it also covers undocumented children. So I wanted to touch on our successes this first year. By the end of March, we enrolled 10,000 and we outreached 26,500 people. By the end of June, it was actually 11,600 people enrolled and about 36,000 people outreached. And it's our initial goal before we realized how much like the website problems and everything would happen, we actually wanted to reach 13,000. So I think considering everything, it's a pretty an amazing success, and it's all because of our navigators. They were encountering so many frustrations and had to summon up so much patience to work within the system, and they were able to. And it's because they cared about their communities, and you know they were from their communities, and I think a lot of clients had patience with them as well because they knew them and they knew that they cared about the people in the community. Our navigators provided outreach and enrollment assistance in 32 languages. And besides being linguistically capable, our navigators were culturally competent. And it's because most of our coalition member organizations are started by and led by immigrants from the communities they're serving. Our whole coalition is 130 organizations. But for the IPC program, we were with 29 organizations. So of that 10,000 that happened by the end of March, two-thirds of them were adult Medicaid, which is really interesting because Marketplace has better eligibility rules or more inclusive eligibility rules when it comes to immigrants. And on top of that, most of our organizations work with limited English proficient population who tend to be ineligible for Medicaid. And the reason for this is because when we were trying to enroll non-citizens in Marketplace, we encountered a lot of barriers. So I'm going to be rushing through these a little bit because of the time issue, but if you want to find out more, get more details on this, please look at our report. I think it's on the website, and also you can just Google my organization's name and ACA report, and you'll find it. So there's two parts to the marketplace application. The first part, you do your basic information. You do your income, you know, your visa number, your social security number, and then you submit that. And if everything gets verified, then you move on to the second part of the application. And the second part of the application, you pick a plan and submit that, and then you're done. One of the things that needs to be done during that, when you submit that first part of the application, is identity verification. So everybody's identity has to be verified. There were also non-immigrants who had some problems with this, but immigrants were more likely to have a problem with this than non-immigrants. Newer and low-income immigrants are less likely to have credit history, and a lot of this identity verification relied on credit history. Experian was the only company that was contracted to do these credit history and identity verification process. But they only offered phone operators that could speak English or Spanish. Now, our organizations that had Chinese, Korean, Arabic-speaking populations, when a limited English proficient client would come in, they would try to do the first part. Didn't work out. They said, call Experian. They called Experian, and they're like, hey, I have a client. He's limited English proficient. I'm going to translate for him. And they're like, nope. We need to talk directly to the client. She's like, well, you can't. They don't speak English. Actually, I had quite a few that said, like, sometimes they would be like, we can have you talk to the Spanish. I was like, that doesn't help. How will that help in any way? There was actually some instances where they would put it on speaker, and the navigator would be whispering the translated question, and then say, you know, what's your answer? And they would say it, and then they would translate it and tell them to say it back. It's, you know, an incredibly long process. And it's also frustrating for the client because sometimes what happens is that they keep getting transferred to other people, so they have to repeat all that information again and again. And there are still some people, not a whole lot, but a small percentage of people that still haven't had their identity verified. The reason's because if you spoke a language that wasn't English or Spanish, you got transferred back to Marketplace. And Marketplace can't do identity verification. They would tell you to upload documents or to set email or mail documents to a processing center in London, Kentucky. Everybody that was using federal Marketplace had one place to send their appeals, paper applications, documents for identity and immigrant status verification. It was a black hole, and it's because nobody knew that the website wouldn't work as badly as it did, so nobody thought people would be sending in as much work to these guys as they did. So they were not equipped to deal with what they had. So immigrant status verification was done through the SAVE program at the Homeland Security. The SAVE program was supposed to work with the Marketplace system, connect everything together, and say, you were verified, you are a lawful immigrant. It didn't work. We're not really sure why. It's because we do know part of the problem was that they created stricter standards, and we don't know why because it hasn't really been a problem. There's usually less immigrants that are applying for the programs they're eligible for rather than immigrants that are applying for programs they're not eligible for. And again, their final alternative was to upload or mail things to London, Kentucky, which did not work. We kept joking that we were going to take a road trip there just to see if it even exists. Another problem we had is erroneous immigrant referrals to Medicaid. So one of the things that first part of the application was doing was deciding your eligibility for Marketplace and its subsidies. Federal regulations restrict Medicaid eligibility of immigrants to legal permanent residents who had their green card for 5 years or more. Legal permanent residents are, we often call them green card holders. Exceptions to this rule is anyone who came to U.S. as refugees or asylees and some other small groups. So these LPRs under 5 years and other lawful immigrants, they are eligible for marketplace and its subsidies because they don't have access to Medicaid and CHIP. The marketplace application system, however, was determining these LPRs under 5 years as being Medicaid eligible, which effectively blocks them from receiving subsidies. And the reason it was doing that is because these LPRs under 5 years were low income. Now, if the low income folks can't afford health insurance without the subsidies, that's the whole reason for the existence of Marketplace. So the clients didn't really have any options to proceed. And then in April, after the open enrollment, there was a Medicaid denial question that showed up. And if they were officially denied with a letter or on the phone, they could check these boxes at this question saying, we were denied, and then it will let them use the subsidies. But Medicaid was backlogged in our state. They expected to have 100,000 applications. They got 700,000. Part of that is that there was just good outreach done. Part of that is they were getting a lot of erroneous referrals. If somebody checked this box because they were getting frustrated and they knew they were ineligible for Medicaid, it would be considered lying to the federal government, and it could be used against them if they were applying for citizenship later on, which is a... So if you're an LPR under 5 years, you were trying to apply in the marketplace, which is where you should go, and it erroneously sent you to Medicaid and stopped your application, and the only way for you to proceed is to check this box that said you were officially denied Medicaid. But because Medicaid was backlogged, some people, or because of misinformation as well, some people were checking that box. And we had to go back to our navigators because they were telling, the marketplace folks were telling us that if people checked that box and they didn't get an official response from Medicaid entity saying they were denied, they would be considered, it would be considered that they lied to the federal agency, a federal agency. And for those of you that know, lying to a federal agency can affect you adversely when you're applying for citizenship. So I was glad that this, we're going to be talking more about how enforcement and a lot of these benefit services, how they interact. So later on, when they received their green card. There was a question about when they received their green card. So a lot of this, these problems did reduce. The problem, though, is that after that, so if you had Medicaid is, I think, about 138% of the federal poverty level, well, those that were 100% below the federal poverty level weren't getting subsidies because, in general, if you qualify for Medicaid or CHIP, you don't get that. But since they couldn't qualify, they were supposed to get subsidies. I'll talk to you a little bit more about the timeline and how much effort it took to keep someone interested and continue to try to get health insurance. Access to care for mixed status families. A lot of mixed status families had a lot of fear of public charge issues. Again, public charge is it's when you're applying for citizenship or even green card, the government assesses, can you financially survive on your own, or are you dependent on the government? And if you're seen as being dependent on the government to survive, you're considered a public charge. So a lot of mixed-status families where they had somebody with a green card or they even had somebody that was undocumented and trying to get DACA status could not, they had a lot of fear that they might get, they might be considered a public charge. And also when mixed-status families had breadwinners that were undocumented, we had a hard time. We had no guidance on how to figure out how do we verify their income because their income has to be verified for them to get subsidies. So even if they weren't applying for themselves and they were applying for their family, we had to verify their income. And they don't have Social Security numbers. IDIN numbers can't be used, and it's also a little controversial using IDIN numbers for anything other than taxes as well. And we just needed more information on how to do that. There's also a lot of case management overload, and I think I talked about that. There was also a lot of post-enrollment. an example of a client who, he was an elderly man with a disabled adult daughter. He had website problems in October. He had to come back in December, and then he encountered the verification problems. Then he had to wait, come back in January. He got sent to Medicaid. Then he had to wait for a denial. He came back in February and did an expedited denial, which was allowed. And then in March, he was denied subsidies after being able to move on because he was below 100% poverty level. And in April, he finally chose a plan, but it had high deductibles. You know, this is a man who really needed it. He's elderly. He has a lot of medications. He has a disabled daughter who is dependent on him. He is a prime example of who needed Marketplace. And even in April, after all this effort, most people came the last 2 weeks of March. He came in October, and he still didn't really get a plan that was going to truly help him. So, sorry, I'm going through fast. For recommendations, we really want more materials for navigators and consumers. Giving them clear, consumer-friendly information, describing the verification process, what documents are needed, the fact that public charge shouldn't be an issue. We want better training for phone operators and advanced caseworkers who did not know immigrant eligibility rules for Marketplace subsidies and Medicaid, and that Medicaid eligibility rules change by state. We needed promotional letters and official letters in different languages. A lot of our clients that were limited English proficient would get a Medicaid letter, official Medicaid letters, in English, and in English at the bottom would say, if you don't speak English, call this number. Not helpful. We want communication strengthened between the states and the Marketplace Processing Center, and we also want better communication between SAVE, Medicaid offices, and navigators to ensure accurate eligibility rules are being communicated, and alternative ways of verifying identity and immigration status, and language access for experienced clients. So, and here are my references. The presentation's available online, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I know I went through it really fast, but the PDF is at this website. We also have resources describing what health insurance is, because health literacy was a big problem. And my contact information, so thank you.